I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today is Dr. Edward Close, a PhD environmental engineer with 40-plus years' experience, a distinguished fellow and senior research fellow with two international organizations. He is one of the nation's foremost experts on environmental engineering and hazard mitigation and a favorite guest on many radio shows, including Coast to Coast. He and his wife, Jackie, are recognized pioneers in the elimination and prevention of toxic mold and have co-authored a book, Nature's Mold RX, and produced a video, Toxic Mold, A Breakthrough Discovery. Pursuing an active research program in environmental remediation, Dr. Close has made a series of breakthrough discoveries in using non-toxic compounds in mold research that have benefited millions. He is a charter member of the internationally known Integrative Healthcare Professionals Council and has authored numerous technical papers and 5 books, including the groundbreaking Transcendental Physics, Integrating the Search for Truth. He also developed the mathematical calculus of distinction and has described a brief, several pages, but never refuted, first published proof for the famous Fermat's Last Theorem 3. He has also developed several new theorems of consciousness and contributed important engineering applications. Memberships include a charter member of the USGSWRD Systems Analysis Group, a charter member of an Integrated Health Professionals Council, senior research fellow of the International Society for Philosophical Inquiry, distinguished fellow of the Exceptional Creative Achievement Organization, degrees in mathematics, physics and environmental engineering, registered professional engineer, Kappa Mu Epsilon Honorary Mathematics Society, and other high IQ organizations and several professional organizations. His current positions include Director of Research and Environmental Engineering at EJC Enterprises LLC and Physical Science Consultant to the Pacific Neuropsychiatric Institute in Seattle, Washington. Current research includes elimination of toxic mold and other harmful microorganisms, the mind-body connection, transcendental physics, and related mathematical methods, quantum physics and brain dynamics, and the origin of life and consciousness. More information is available at www.brainvoyage.com or www.naturesmoldrx.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Close, and I look forward to hearing how to deal with mold naturally. Now, first, what are the symptoms and illnesses that can be caused by mold exposure?
Well, there are a lot of symptoms, and they're similar to symptoms that occur from other things, and so often it's misdiagnosed. But the most common early symptoms are headaches, coughing and sneezing, some dizziness, sinus infections are common, skin rashes occasionally, nosebleed, eye and ear infections, and one of the big ones is fatigue, just not having energy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's in common with a lot of things like Lyme's disease and so forth. And we found that I'm working with 3 different doctors now, and there was a fourth, I think mm-hmm. he's retired now, who are treating people with chronic pain disorders like fibromyalgia mm-hmm. and Lyme's disease, and they find that between 80% and 90% of their patients also have mold spores and mycotoxins in their blood and their urine samples.
Mm.
So many times the many times the problems are, if they're not caused by mold, they're made worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get in more into reasons for that, but mm-hmm. Those are the main symptoms, and you can see that they're common symptoms that people have.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're prolonged and you think you've been exposed to mold, if you had excess moisture or you smelled mold in your house or even saw it, then and you're having dizziness or headaches on a regular basis and sinus infections, then you probably have a mold problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what are some common myths about mold?
Well, there are quite a few of them. One was started out in New York City several years ago, about 10, 12 years ago. The Public Health Service said, in their bulletin they put out about mold, they said, if you've got less than 10 square feet of affected surface, then you don't need to call a professional or get concerned. You just get bleach and soapy water and clean it up. Well, that's a problem with that because certain species of mold, like Stachybotrys and Aspergillus, which is very common, you can have in a 2x2, 4 square inches can actually release over 1 million mold spores in a very short period of time. So that was dangerous advice, mm-hmm. not good advice, and of course they've backed off on that now. Another myth is that you don't need to spend money for sampling and analysis. If you've got mold and you know it, you just need to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that sounds like good advice, but it depends. It's like anything else. You don't go hunting for squirrels with an elephant gun, and that's what most of the remediators do.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't take samples and they don't know exactly what they're dealing with, they run the risk of either overkill, and that, of course, is what they like to do because that's where they make most of their money, is mm-hmm. tearing out your walls and replacing them. Or underkill, meaning that they're using something that won't really get rid and they don't take proper precautions, and even the workers will get sick if certain species are there. So sampling and analysis is usually a good idea. There are some cases where you might not need to, but most cases it's a very good idea to know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So another one is, people will say, oh, mold is not a problem, it's just hype. And you'll especially find insurance companies and public institutions, schools, and even hospitals saying things like this because they don't want people to panic and get over-concerned,
mm-hmm.
so they underplay it. And there are reasons to be very concerned. Anyway, the other one I can think of off the top of my head is that a couple of them. One is that you'll hear people saying, yeah, some people are sensitive to mold, but most people aren't affected. Well, that's not exactly true either. There are about 20% of the population that is sensitive to mold,
mm-hmm.
but the other 80% can become very ill if they're exposed to certain toxic molds. And finally, you'll hear people say there's no known link between mold exposure and serious health problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is just because we haven't determined how it happens or why it happens, it's not a good idea to just dismiss it and
mm-hmm.
say there's no link between the problem
mm-hmm.
I'm having
mm-hmm.
and exposure to mold.
You mentioned that one of the myths was that mold is not a problem. I wonder if our reaction to mold has changed as a result of environmental changes, like the food is not as healthy as it used to be, and there's more toxins in our environment, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason I say that is I think of relatives in Pennsylvania that when they had the flooding there, And my mother, when she used to come back to visit me, we would stop at the relatives in Wilkes-Barre and 44th in that area. And their houses had all flooded. They had moved all of their furniture to the second floor because the whole first floor they thought would flood, and it did. But they continued living in those places until they died, and they lived to a good old age, didn't seem to have any problems and all. And this was probably 30, 40 years ago. You know, I wonder if people were more immune to it in the past.
Well, there are a couple of reasons why that's true, and this is something that has come up and something that I've spent some time researching and thinking about. Several reasons that it's different now. One is, as you mentioned, we have so many toxic chemicals. I did a study, in fact, I've done a presentation on how many new man-made chemicals are put on into the CAS system. They have to be submitted per minute. It's just amazing, and the government officials can't possibly keep up with it. Even if they could look at every one, they can never look at the synergistic effects between two or more of these chemicals when you're exposed to them. And so there are, compared with 50 years ago, the numbers are staggering. It was, there was something like 50 years ago, and I'm just going to give some, I don't have the actual numbers in front of me, so this is from memory, and so they're approximate. But 50 years ago, there was about 12 to 20,000 man-made chemicals being produced. And now we're talking about 80-some million, and they're coming out on an order of thousands of new ones per day. And so our environment is much more toxic. And there's another thing. People don't realize that mold is a very resilient and a very successful life form. It showed up in the geologic column along with the first evidence of plants. So mold was there from the first time there were plants, and the purpose of mold is to decompose plant and animal material. The problem is they don't care whether that plant and animal material is alive or dead, so that's why they cause problems if they get into your system before. Now, the mold is such a resilient life form that it keeps changing. So we have mold species now that we didn't have 50 years ago, and we have mold species that are much more hardy, more robust now, so they cause more problems. So if you put the two things together, that people are exposed to toxic materials, including, by the way, pharmaceutical drugs, that their immune systems are so weak that they're much more susceptible than they were then, and we have much more robust mold species. So you put the two together, and you come up with a really serious problem.
I went through Hurricane Isabel and had 3 feet of water through my house. And the first thing that the contractor told me was that I needed to put bleach on things. And you mentioned earlier that you shouldn't use bleach. So can you tell us why?
Yes. Now, bleach will kill mold. So, you know, I'm of course not saying that, and I, like everybody else, grew up thinking that's what you do. If you have mold in your kitchen or your bathroom or wherever, you get out scrub brush and sponges and bleach and soap and water, and you clean it up. That was the common wisdom. The problem is this. I'm not saying some bleach won't do good, but there are two problems with it. Number one is bleach is 96-97% water, household bleach.
Mm-hmm.
The 3 or 4% is sodium hypochlorite, and that's a toxic, volatile chemical that you have to be very careful with. When it's mixed with an acid, for example, it releases chlorine gas, and there have actually been people, cleaning people and housewives and so forth, have died from accidentally mixing the two in a closed space. It happens almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
So besides chlorine gas, even if you don't get it mixed with an acid, you are releasing chlorine radicals, which are also very bad for your health, let's just put it that way, very aggressive in attacking animal tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dangerous thing. So that's one. Two, because it's mostly water, when the sodium hypochlorite does its job, it evaporates, which is what you want it to do, because
mm-hmm.
you don't want the toxic chemical there. But what does it leave behind? It leaves behind that 90, well, water doesn't evaporate nearly as quickly as sodium hypochlorite because it's not as volatile. And so you're left behind with probably 75 or 80% of the water that was
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you still have conditions that are conducive to mold growth, you're just setting up, you're giving it what it needs, excess moisture and whatever nutrient it can find in dust or debris, it will rebound. And studies that we've done show that after using bleach on mold, it usually rebounds, if the conditions are still there, within 24 hours.
Oh. Hmm. You mentioned that you should have sampling done, and do you want to elaborate on having professional sampling done?
Yes. Again, the common wisdom is that maybe we don't need to sample, that's just extra cost, or maybe we can go to Lowe's or the local hardware store and get some little sample kits and
mm-hmm.
and see if we've got a problem. And the problem is that the average person just really doesn't know what they're dealing with. And if you set out a little collector that we call them gravity collectors, it's like a little petri dish, and whatever settles in it, then you send off to the lab. This is the types of kits that they have.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that only tests at one spot. And unless you put those things all over your house, on every floor and in every room and in every enclosed space, you're not getting a sample of what's going on in your house.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get a false negative very easily with that kind of sampling. Now, if you know you've got mold and you can see it growing, then yes, you need to do something about it. Why should you sample then? Well, if you don't have serious health problems and it looks like it's a minor mold problem, then you might not need to sample.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know that you have health problems, that you have people in the house or the building who are sensitive to mold, who are already ill, and then you need to find out what you're dealing with. The other reason, as I mentioned to you earlier, is that if you don't know what you're dealing with, then you run several risks. One is you overkill, and you will tear everything out, and the cost typically, rarely is it under $5,000 or $6,000
mm-hmm.
if you
mm-hmm.
had some flooding or so with normal mold remediation. And more often it can be $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 for the typical remediation
mm-hmm.
where they come in with HEPA filters and create negative air pressure, airflow, and take out everything that is water stained or damaged or mold and replace it. And that might not be necessary, and I've got a number of cases where I've saved people a lot of money
mm-hmm.
by having them follow our protocol, which
mm-hmm.
is to diffuse with natural oils first
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then clean because when you diffuse, you're taking the mold spores out of the air, so you're not breathing them. And that's how you get problems for the most part with mold, is by breathing the air and breathing spores and mycotoxins. So if you eliminate that, then you don't have the dangers that you have normally while you're cleaning. Once the cleaning's done, then you can see what you really need to remove or not. Maybe if it's just stain, you can paint over it. You might not have to remove a whole wall. I've saved money for DOT offices, for hospitals, for offices, and for many homes by following this procedure. And then once you've done that, you diffuse again, because if you're removing materials, you stir up anything that might be there, even if it's dead, and you diffuse again and clean, and then you're done. So as far as sampling, if you don't sample, you don't know what you're dealing with, and if you don't know what you're dealing with, you're probably going to spend a lot more money than you really need to.
Many mold remediators do not take sampling before remediation. And why is that?
Yeah, most of them will tell you that if you know you have a mold problem, taking samples. In fact, I went to a conference in Nashville, Tennessee, a couple of years ago for the Indoor Air Quality Association, which is a great association. And I actually heard people stand up and say, you don't need to do sampling. If you know you've got a mold problem, you just need to clean it up. And there are several problems with that. As I said before, if you don't sample, you don't know what you've got. But the other thing is, the reason that remediators don't like to sample is if you sample before and after, the way the normal methods that are used, you're always going to find some mold spores. And that's a problem for them, because people expect if they've cleaned up that there shouldn't be any mold spores in the air, or it should be very much lower. And most often it isn't. Sometimes it's even higher after they've cleaned, because they've disturbed a lot of mold. And it's mold like Aspergillus. We've done tests that show that once you disturb a colony, the spores from that colony can stay suspended in the air for up to 24 hours. So that's the reason they don't like to sample. I always like to sample before and after. There have been cases where I haven't, but I like to tell people, even if it's a private residence, that if you're going to live in your house for the rest of your life and you're not really concerned except that you don't have the problems from mold, then you probably don't need to sample. But if you're ever going to sell your home, then if you've had a mold problem, these days the realtors are obligated under law in most states to report that at disclosure. And if they don't, they're in trouble. Well, once that's done, there's actually a system that it goes into, and your house is on that list. And if you don't have evidence that the problem was taken care of with before and after sampling to prove that, then you're going to have problems selling your house.
Because all of my neighbors flooded during Isabel, and several of them have sold, but I haven't heard them talk anything about this, so I don't know whether we're one of those states that requires that, or whether it's just something that wasn't a problem for most of them. We all use the same person pretty much to do the work on our houses.
Well, there are good contractors out there, there's no question about it. Most of them, however, don't know about this protocol. And I should mention, I get in trouble with my wife if I don't, that we have a website that's called Nature's Mold RX. It's www.naturesmoldrx.com. And there's a lot of good information on there, and the outline of the protocol is there, and some of the studies that we've done and so forth, mm-hmm. and, of course, ways for them to get products that they can use mm-hmm. to take care of, to eliminate toxic mold. And the book that we have is available, and it's called Nature's Mold RX. The Non-Toxic Solution to Toxic Mold is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, you know, most book handlers. And we're into the third printing of that now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been quite a popular book, which mm-hmm. is nice. And we're glad to help people in any way we can. Now, you can imagine our phone rings almost constantly, so we have to have an answering service, and we have to follow up mm-hmm. after the fact, usually.
Mm-hmm.
But I can give an 800 number, Carl, if that would be okay.
Great. Mm-hmm.
The 800 number to reach us is 1-877-756-6753. Mm-hmm. And like I say, you'll probably go to a voicemail type pickup, and then we'll get back to you in the order that they come in.
Mm-hmm. Great. Then if you could tell us about why conventional mold remediation is so expensive.
Yeah, it is really expensive, and the main reason is that, you know, I'm not putting down the people who do the remediation mm-hmm. because we mm-hmm. need them. Most of us can't do all of this ourselves mm-hmm. and wouldn't want to probably if we could. But here's the problem I've run into when I've got two or three remediation companies that are using the protocol,
mm-hmm.
got some locally that will call us when they have a mold problem and have us come in and do the sampling and analysis and treat before they go in to clean up. ServPro is one of those that, I don't know if you have ServPro where you are. But
I don't know. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's a cleaning service, and so I work with them. But the problem is this: when I talk to the managers and CEOs of remediation companies, they're really interested at first because it sounds like it's green, it's non-toxic, it's all these good things, and it's great to advertise. But when they find out that a job that they could probably charge $15,000 or $20,000 for can be done for $500,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
then they do the math and say, oh, that means I'm going to have to find 20 or 30 or 40 new customers to keep the same level of income that I've got.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they're naturally reluctant and resistant to changing over to using a method that's not going to make as much money for them. And while that sounds bad, it's understandable. If you've got a business, you have to make money. You know, business people have to pay their mm-hmm. bills just mm-hmm. like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. How can the average person eliminate or avoid the toxic chemicals and avoid being ripped off, but at the same time eliminate the mold?
The way that we recommend that they do this is to use this blend of essential oils and diffuse it at a rate that it saturates the air.
Mm-hmm.
We use a diffuser that will saturate a 1,000 square foot living space in about 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And most people can be in and out of that space at least during the time when it's treated.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's treated, then there's a residual effect. And even if you're in an older home that you have to worry about later on, it may come back. You can diffuse just periodically at a much lower rate and take care of the spores as they get into the
mm-hmm.
air.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that this does is it digests the spores. It dissolves the cell walls of the spores, which are made of a material called chitin. which interestingly, interesting to me anyway, it's the same stuff that shrimp shells and lobster shells and cockroach exteriors, mm-hmm. exoskeletons, and so forth are made of. So mold is kind of a borderline life form between plant and animal. They used to think it was part of the plant kingdom,
mm-hmm.
but biologists now categorize it as a separate kingdom of its own. You've got plant and animal and fungi.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use this method, then you're avoiding the toxic chemicals, which most that are used by conventional remediators, which can cause you health problems, in some cases bad or worse than the mold,
mm-hmm.
and avoid having to pay a large amount of money. Now, the people that I've worked with, most of them are people who are sensitive to mold or who have problems, health problems, chemical sensitivity, or things like Lyme's disease and fibromyalgia and so forth that make them more susceptible. So when I'm working with them, they're very, very pleased to not have to deal with toxic chemicals, which can make their mm-hmm. problems worse, and they still can take care of the problem, and usually for less money than they would, and a lot of times a lot less money mm-hmm. than they would have to spend by conventional remediation methods.
Mm-hmm. And how was the green solution discovered?
I have a DVD that tells the whole story, and of course that's available various places too. And you can, you know, start on our website if you want to find that. But basically, as an environmental engineer, I had a client that I had done a lot of environmental work for who hired me as a third party to come in and take samples. He had purchased about a 30-year-old apartment complex that had some flooding. It was near the Mississippi River in southeast Missouri. And they had closed it down, and of course, mold just went wild because this climate in the summertime, 90 degrees and 90% relative humidity, is just mold heaven,
mm-hmm.
and closed up buildings. So they really had a mess on their hands, and they had a construction company come through and tear out everything that even looked moldy or water damaged, and then they had a cleaning company from St. Louis come in and go through and clean top to bottom, and then they had me come in as a third party and take samples. I had to sample for radon and lead paint and all of the things that they had to be concerned with because they were renovating these apartments for low-income housing, and so they had to meet the government standards. So everything passed. I was ever able to find that they were okay except for mold. It kept coming back. And they asked me to meet with the cleaning company, and so I asked them to bring their MSDS sheets so I could see what chemicals they were using. And I found that what they were using was a bactericide and not a fungicide. And the cleaner said, well, our supplier said this will take care of everything. It's a hospital disinfectant. It's what they use to clean hospital operating rooms and so forth. And I said, well, you need to go back and get an industrial strength fungicide because we've got levels here that are in excess of 50,000 mold spores per cubic meter of air and colonies over 75,000 from surface sampling, even after you've done all the cleaning. And so it was just rebounding within a week or two after mm-hmm. they had done the cleaning. Anyway, then they did that. They came back with an industrial strength fungicide, cleaned the whole place from top to bottom. 2 weeks after they finished, I went back in, took samples again, and about half of the apartments were still above, and about 10 of them were extremely above acceptable levels, And so a client was just kind of at his wit's end because he'd spent a lot of money already and he was nowhere near being able to rent these apartments. Mm-hmm. I was discussing it with my wife, who is, we've worked together for almost 40 years in this business. She fortunately has an accounting and some healthcare background and so forth, so we make a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, she said, why don't you use these essential oils? Look, right here on the bottle, it says they are antifungal. And I said, well, you know, that's fine, but two things. One, if I go to my client and say, I'm going to solve this horrific problem you have with aromatherapy, they're going to laugh at me. And number two, how would I go, you know, here's a little 15 milliliter bottle and I've got 48 apartments. How am I going to apply that? And her answer to the first question was, don't call it aromatherapy. Tell them you have an alternative antifungal agent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the second part of it's your problem. You're the engineer. Mm-hmm. So to make a long story short, I figured out how to saturate the space of the apartment size with just a forced air diffuser, putting out a very fine mist of essential oils. Now, as you may know, Carl, essential oils are very small molecule. They're not like motor oil or corn oil or olive oil. They're not a greasy oil. Those oils have long chain molecules that slide past each other, and they don't diffuse well. But essential oils are very tiny molecules, and they diffuse into the atmosphere and saturate it readily. So I figured out a way to do that, and I tried it, and to make a long story short, it worked. Not only did it work spectacularly well, when I showed them the results, they said, well, what if it comes back? Everything else we've tried comes back. Well, I said, we don't know. This is an experiment, so I don't do any more treatment of any kind, and I'll come back in 2 weeks, take samples again. 2 weeks after the 24-hour application, the levels were still way low, and in fact, some of them, the ones that only occurred inside, were lower than they were at the end of the 24 hours of treatment. Mm-hmm. So this was a big plus, this residual effect, which the other treatments don't have because they evaporate and go away because they're toxic chemicals. Mm-hmm. So that was the discovery, and from there we've gone on. We published the book Nature's Mold RX in 2006. It's gone through in its third printing, and the book had 20 case studies with before and after samples and discussion of why they had a mold problem and how it was taken care of and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've either done directly or helped people with hundreds, and I dare say even thousands at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's worked every time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
isn't it wonderful what God has provided for us?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because as a scientist, people many times think that the scientists don't believe in God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I happen to believe that it's use of these oils for health purposes and for taking care of mold is biblical. Mm-hmm. There are over 1,000 mentions in the Bible of using essential oils. They are called frankincense and myrrh and galbanum and onycha and hyssop. They're all mentioned in the Bible for specific uses, including such things even as leprosy. Mm-hmm. And there's a scripture, I think, in Leviticus that says, "And the plants for and animals for your food, and the leaves of the trees for your medicine." So the original medicine was from plants. And if you look at pharmaceuticals, what they've done is they've found the original medicine was probably a plant, either an herb or the sap or the oil from a plant, and then they've synthesized that. But the thing is, they can't synthesize it perfectly because essential oil has dozens, sometimes hundreds of organic compounds in it. They just isolate the ones that they think are the effective ones, and then they synthesize them, and you have all sorts of side effects.
Right.
So,
and then they increase the price.
Yeah.
And make a profit, and then you have to get a prescription from the doctor, and that keeps the doctor going. And I mean, it's just a circular thing that God provided for us, and none of those things are as good as what was provided, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a testimonial. My personal testimony is that I take no pharmaceutical drugs. I have not for almost 20 years, not even aspirin. I'll be 78 years old my next birthday. I have all of the original parts. A few teeth gone, but other than that, and I'm healthy, and I stay that way by proper diet and clean living and using the essential oils. And we've been using them for about 12 years now. And I've avoided doctors and hospitals on a number of occasions by using them and have not regretted it so far.
Good. Great. That's the way to be. Then, Dr. Close, would you tell us again your website, your phone number, and are you available then for consultation?
Yes, I'd be glad to tell you. The website is www.naturesmoldrx, like the pharmacy sign, .com. And the telephone number is 800 number 877-756-6753. That's 877-756-6753. And you probably won't get a live person, but you can leave a message and we get back to you. And yes, I'm available for consultation, but I have to tell you that my time is so taken up that there's a backlog, and I try to get to the people with the most serious problem first. So as a result, it takes some time. But if anyone calls and leaves a message, we will return the call.
And would you tell us again then the title of your book and also the DVD?
Yes, the book is Nature's Mold RX, the non-toxic solution to toxic mold. And if you go online and type in those words, Nature's Mold RX, or if you type in my name, Edward R. Close, C-L-O-S-E, it'll get you to that. And the DVD is called Toxic Mold, A Breakthrough Discovery. And it's a DVD, a video of me presenting the evidence of the effectiveness of this method for mold remediation.
Great. I appreciate this very much. You know, mold affects so many people, especially with all of the hurricanes and all of the disasters that involve water that has happened over the last years, that more and more people are needing to know that there is a natural way to deal with this in a way that is more effective, less expensive, and natural. So this has been really great.
Well, I really appreciate your having me on, because we've been trying to get the word out, and as you know, anything that's good and helps people, it takes a whole lot longer to get the word out than it seems like it should.
Right, right. Well, I thank you again, Dr. Close. This has been great.
Well, thank you, Carl. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate your having me on.
Good. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my website, Holistic Health Show, where you will find all previous shows archived under the blog. Using the search engine, you can find any show by entering the topic or the speaker. On my second website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find all of the information on my latest book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions. This book discusses my experience with lung cancer 39 years ago when I was given 6 months to live by conventional medicine and subsequently used all natural interventions and within 2 years was cured of lung cancer, and I have had no recurrences since. You can also find most of the interviews on radio and television that I have done about this book under the blog. You can also find a place to buy this book and some of my other books. I also invite you to my Facebook pages, Holistic Health Show and Beat Lung Cancer, and also my own page under Carl Helvey. I invite you to join me on LinkedIn under Dr. Carl O'Helvey, on Twitter under Dr. Carl O'Helvey, at Holist Health Show, that's HolistHealthSHO. A few weeks ago, I interviewed Sharon Carney about sound healing. I would like to close our program today with some of her music from Woodland Song, which is available on her website, soundwellness.com. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.